There was a big storm in the Northeast last weekend, doing grave damage to a great old tree. In New Milford, Connecticut, a huge white oak tree, 300 years old, a tree known as the Washington Oak, suffered under the wet, heavy snow, and many of the limbs cracked. Under this tree, history maintains, George Washington in 1780 had a meeting, possibly lunch, with several of his troops. We called Mrs. Robert Guerin, who lives nearby, to ask about the tree.
It sits alongside of a Galen Road, and it's 20 feet around, is owned by the Daughters of the American Revolution. And it's now a historical site.
So it's off the roadside there.
Mm-hmm.
And the DAR owns an easement around the tree.
Yeah, 20 feet all the way around.
And is there a plaque or a sign that tells what happened?
Oh, yes, a beautiful plaque we just spent $400 for.
What does it say?
George Washington, you know, and it has all the history of what his stopping there.
Right.
And the date.
And describe the tree for us, please.
It is so, the limbs were huge, and it was just a big, gorgeous tree. We're hoping it can be saved, part of it anyway.
Mrs. Guerin's hopes soon were in the hands of Howard Stevens. He is a retired arborist who was called in for a consultation.
I came here, which I live 5 miles away or so, and I came up, and here was this huge branches that had fallen down, and no way was I going to go any further with it. And so I got a hold of the DAR gals, and they told me to cut the branches up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did.
Mm-hmm. And how serious was the damage?
Upper branch, of which the cables, of which the lower branches were cabled to, gave way, coming down on the lower branches and just taking the whole limb down.
Kind of a sad sight?
Very sad.
Does it make any sense to try to keep the rest of the tree alive? What's the situation?
There have to be a lot of heavy branches taken away in order for the tree to sustain. For a good northeaster coming up through the valley is going to take out the rest of it.
Howard Stevens, an arborist, retired in New Milford, Connecticut, talking with us about the as-yet-still-standing Washington Oak. The story brings to mind some writing some years ago by W.S. Merwin. Under the title Unchopping a Tree, he speculates about the engineering feat of reassembling a tree that's been cut down. Merwin writes, "If the tree was hollow, in whole or in part, and contained old nests of bird or mammal or insect, or hoards of nuts, the contents will have to be repaired where necessary and reassembled, insofar as possible, in their original order, including the shells of nuts already opened. With spider's webs, you must simply do the best you can. When all is ready, the splintered trunk is lowered onto the splinters of the stump. This, one might say, is only the skeleton of the resurrection. Now the chips must be gathered and the sawdust and returned to their former positions. The fixative for the wood layers will be applied to chips, and sawdust, consisting of several substances, will receive applications of the correct adhesives. It is as well, where possible, to shelter the materials from the elements while working. Weathering makes it harder to identify the smaller fragments. Bark sawdust, in particular, the earth lays claim to very quickly. You must find your own ways of coping with this problem." That is from Unchopping the Tree by W.S. Merwin, from the book The Miner's Pale Children. This year, the National Christmas Tree Association is estimating that 30 million Christmas trees will be cut and sold in this country, a number that could suggest to a family that an artificial tree might be a good idea. The Environmental Defense Fund has issued some seasonal guidelines urging people to consider a live, replantable tree or to think about an artificial one. Jackie Prince-Roberts is an environmental scientist with the EDF.
The artificial tree is great in terms of being able to reuse something. We always are promoting reuse for all sorts of things that we use, and the important thing is to make sure you're reusing it for a long period of time. Don't go out and buy a new artificial tree every couple years because you see one you like better. My mother has several in a store she owns that my grandmother used to use, and I know those have been in our family for a good 40 years. Whichever way you decide to go, people are kind of split on whether they prefer an artificial tree. Older people seem to prefer that, or people with allergies or asthma. Or if you prefer a live tree, there are lots of things you can do with your live tree after you use it so that you're minimizing waste and minimizing the impact of cutting down a tree.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are aware, of course, of the letter that came to the EDF from somebody who had read your tips in a newspaper, and this is John Waters of Arlington, Virginia.
I shopped around my Arlington neighborhood, but the only artificial trees for sale were manufactured in China. I wasn't about to purchase a holiday tree thrown together under slave labor conditions in a godforsaken, sooty, polluted village run by commie thugs. Then it shipped 7,000 miles in a leaking, bilge-pumping, rusted hulk to a Seattle unloading dock, trucked 3,000 miles via smoking diesel for 4 days, piloted by a teamster or two depositing pounds of throwaway plastic utensils and Burger King styrofoam containers along the way. In typical green lingo, I said to myself, me buy an artificial tree made in China? No way, man.
Now, Ms. Roberts, John Waters is probably overstating this a bit, just to make his point, but he has some strong arguments.
Well, I think absolutely the things he mentioned are concerns, and I did notice that somebody had called in very quickly after they received that letter and said, gee, we sell trees made in Mexico, and other people sell trees made more locally.
Well, Mexico can be pretty far away, especially from the east or the northwest, and if you only found one that was made in China, what should you do?
I think you should go home and let your fingers do the walking and keep looking for another alternative.
What would be the objection, really, from your point of view, to buying a cut tree from a nice tree farm? You get a Fraser fir coming from the hillsides of Ashe County, North Carolina, and they will grow more trees on that same hillside, and you can compost the tree when you're through with it at Christmas time?
Let me emphasize that we are not recommending an artificial one over a cut tree or a cut tree over an artificial tree. I think that people seem to be pretty split on what they prefer, and what we're trying to do is get people to think about, okay, if you're going to use one or the other, how can you be more environmentally sound about it? You're absolutely right that Christmas trees are grown on farms. We're not taking Christmas trees from our forests. They're almost grown as a crop. I think the big problem is if we cut down a lot of trees and they end up going to landfills, we lose all of that terrific nutrients in the tree. And we really recommend people focusing on getting their towns to mulch Christmas trees. I know in Massachusetts, almost half of our towns are mulching Christmas trees, which is great.
In your holiday living room, there will be, or perhaps already is, what?
This year, I actually live in a fairly small place. So this year, I decided to get a couple of wreaths that smelled wonderful. They're things that look very Christmassy. And I took some of my ornaments, and I put them on the wreaths, and I hung them around inside my house. And it was certainly a lot easier than hauling in a Christmas tree to replant. So that's what I'm doing this year, is decorating with Christmas wreaths.
Talking with us from WBUR Boston, Jackie Prince Roberts of the Environmental Defense Fund.